Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. I didn't notice that was still on. Welcome back, everybody, to Nerdcore Podcast. Oops. The podcast reviews the movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 484. We are 16 episodes away from episode 500, and I still don't know if that's going to land on a regular review or on a theme review. We'll see what we'll do. But as always, it's a nerd you're going to hear to host the show alongside our wonderful co-host, Young Yoda.
So what's up, everybody? It's Thursday.
It's Thursday, my dudes.
Thursday.
Oh, that's Wednesday. That's the meme. It's Wednesday, my dudes. That's the one. That's the
hump day.
Yeah.
Hump day.
Hump day.
Showing my age there. That was a Geico commercial.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good commercial, bro.
That is a great commercial. Just a talking camel. Like,
yeah.
It's legit.
Yeah. So today we're here to continue on with our reviews of the month as we are looking at past Palme d'Or winners. And today we're going to be looking at the winner of the Palme d'Or for 2018, Hirokazu Koreeda's Shoplifters. And you may think, Raul, did you choose this one because this is the one that Alejandro Gonzalez Señorito voted on? And I will say, maybe.
And I bet because it showed ass.
And I plead the fifth. This time you didn't have, what's it called, Brenda there to tell you anything.
No, tell me to turn it off. No, but it had equal amounts of girl ass, guy ass, just ass in general.
Just ass in general. But before I can get into any of that, Brad, this is about day five or something. What's up?
Indeed.
How you doing?
Still surviving.
You miss your wife?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Well, that's normal, right?
Yeah. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. How
be different? I said like fuck now. Like I am living high on the hog.
I hate those type of people who are like, oh, ball and chain. Man, shut the fuck up, bro. Just don't get married then, bro.
You know you lonely.
Yeah.
You're lonely or an asshole. One of those.
So she's a man, my good old ball and chain, you know, got me. But like, bro, should not gotten married then, bro.
I still send her TikToks. Like, she's been gone. I just send her TikToks the whole time. That's usually what I do anyway, so.
Like the one that I sent you today.
Yeah, like that shit. That menudo looked fucking excellent. Like,
I shit you not, Brad. That is you as an old man. And you more Spanish.
Indeed. So I need to take Spanish. But that right there was happiness. And you knew that was a Sunday. Because you know that joint probably doesn't serve menudo any other day of the week.
Yeah, pretty much.
People don't know this. Most places, most Mexican restaurants do not serve menudo except on fucking Sunday.
Yep. And for anybody who doesn't know, it's because menudo is usually used to cure a hangover. So if you get it on a Sunday, it's to cure the hangover from Saturday.
Although I would eat menudo every day of the week, if you let me. I would eat menudo with a carne asada burrito with like some cabbage in it. It's just... Yeah. Mm.
Hello, Kylie. We're doing pretty good. A pretty all right day here. Recorded some videos right now. I'm going to be recording some more after I'm done here. I finished like two reviews today. I'm not fully caught up on all the ones I need to do because I got two more to do that are screeners. But like now I can fully like start watching these screeners from what's it called? From the Los Angeles Asia Pacific Film Festival. And I can start working on those reviews and also start planning out the episode we need to do of those three ones that we're going to do. So I'm glad that I have at least sort of caught up right now. Yeah. No longer have a lot of reviews on me.
We've been pretty good. We've been pretty good, except for, was it last week?
Yeah. Yeah, I had some that were like, you know, backed up for a bit. Like I just did my review of X and it's like, also, it's kind of like, wow, man, I can remember that much of that movie. And I watched that one like in March, beginning of March. Like, damn. But I got two more screeners from like past films that were sent to me. But like, you know, other than that, I got one that I'm going to watch in June that I need to do a review of. But Doctor Strange 1 went live today, y'all, if you want to go see my review right now of that. Of course, all my reviews are usually non-spoiler. I don't ever give too much away. I mostly kind of concentrated on my criticism. And of course, when we get to do an audio episode and a video episode of that, we'll get to talk about it in spoiler goodness. But right now, it's up. Tomorrow, I got a review of Pleasure going up, which is the film that I was sent, that I was what's called able to watch because of Rachel, who sent me their screening, who put me down as a guest for their screening with Film Independent. So I want to thank Rachel so much. And that film is going to start limited release tomorrow on the 13th. So y'all go and what's called get to watching that if you are interested in the porn industry. And yeah, I got my review going up tomorrow, so I'm excited.
What's,
but,
what's porn?
What are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah. What's it called? Wasn't Ricky Martin a member of Menudo? Oh, no. You're thinking of Luis Miguel. Just thinking of Luis Miguel. When is Chill Zone Torture Watch Along? Next week. Fuck. Next week. That's when it is. On Tuesday. Not Strange Spoiler. Or it's Tuesday. Strange Madness. Yeah. But Brad, you watching anything? You got anything going on? Anything different?
No. I spent the last 2 days watching this movie. I watched half of it on Tuesday and half of it on Wednesday. So
damn, all right.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah. Sorry, Brad. I forgot that this one was like 2 hours.
No, it wasn't bad. It's just it came to a point where it's like, okay, I'm gonna stop it here because I gotta clean parts of the house and shit.
Well, at least this one was available to rent.
Well, it was on Tubi also.
Oh, it was on Tubi? Oh shit, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have a library card still with the city of Houston. So this one was on Canopy. So that's a streaming service that y'all should know about. If you have a library card, which mostly anybody can get, a library card, if you put the library card info into your Canopy account, it connects to the streaming service of your like streaming files of the library at your library card, at your library. So you'll get access to a bunch of films that you, want to watch. So this is where I watched that one. Yeah.
Yeah, this was on Tubi. So
yeah, and Canopy, you don't have to pay for it either.
There you go. Shoot.
Yeah. But thank you, Tubi. Thank you, Tubi. That was a short review of Pleasure. Meh. Pain has better cinematography. Shut up. I'm really digging. Highly recommend the new Lakers show on HBO Max. It's about the show Time Lakers.
It does look interesting.
Oh, yeah. Winning Time. Yeah, I've heard really good things about Winning Time.
Oh, so. I did finish Queen's Gambit. I don't know if I mentioned that. Ooh, so I did finish that. So that was really excellent show, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard great things about Anya Taylor-Joy in that show, too. Yeah, heard that she's really good in the show.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect when I first started watching it, but then I just binged the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, you also got a lot of time to watch something right now.
Yeah.
So you're telling me, Brad, it's the sad realization that a lot of the reason why we can't do stuff is family constraints sometimes. But it's okay. It's family. Family is important.
Brenda is very important to me. So when she's like, take me out to dinner, it's like, all right, I'm taking you out to dinner.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Shit. All right.
Oh, we love you, Brenda.
Love you, Brenda.
But of course, let's get into this, y'all. We're going to be talking about Hirokazu Koreeda's Shoplifter. So if you have not watched the film, then you go ahead and click off here if you care about spoilers. But if you don't care about spoilers, then go ahead and keep watching. Or if you've already seen it, then this is it. But but of course, this is your one and only spoiler warning. And it is in effect in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Kylie says, Dom approves of Bradley family time.
Family.
All right, I've got a little bit to read. It's not that much, but
I mean, not a ton.
It's not a sentence. Like,
it's not like a Marvel movie.
Yeah, where I had like 6 paragraphs to read, whole ass fucking essay. Jesus. Shoplifters. It literally translates, the Japanese title literally translates to Shoplifting Family. Is a 2018 Japanese drama film directed and written and edited by Hirokazu Koreeda, starring Lily Frankie and Sakura Ando. It is about a family that relies on shoplifting to cope with a life of poverty. Koreeda wrote the screenplay contemplating what makes a family, and inspired by reports of poverty and shoplifting in Japan. principal photography began in mid-December 2017. Shoplifters premiered on May 13, 2018 at the Cannes Film Festival, where it won the Palme d'Or. The film was released in Japan on June 8, 2018, and it was a critical and commercial success. Shoplifters won 3 Mariachi Film Awards, including Best Film, and the Asia Pacific Screen Award for Best Feature Film, and was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars and the Golden Globes. This would be the 2019 Oscars, right? So what did it lose to? I think it lost to Roma, which I'm not going to be mad at, because, you know, it's a great film. And I think it was. Yeah. Wait, it was or was it? Oh, either way, y'all, what's it called? I'll look at this and, well, Brad gives me his thoughts, but Brad, do you want me to go first or should I go first?
I mean, your choice. You go first.
I guess, yeah, if we stick to that, right? So, what's it called? I chose this film because Hirokazu Koreeda is kind of special to me. Before this, the only Japanese director I watched was really, what's it called, Akira Kurosawa, thanks to Brad and the podcast. I really hadn't, you know, looked into any other Japanese film director, of course, other than, you know, like the tons of anime films that I watched, like, you know, Hayao Miyazaki. But this was really, you know, the Japanese director that I had ventured into right after. And this remains the only film that I've watched from Hirokazu Koreeda. But I like this man's style so much that I bought 2 of his films from the Criterion Collection. And I'm going to watch them and I'm going to review them one of these days on my personal channel. When I first watched this film, it was because I put it on my list for 75 films from Asia, which at this point is an abandoned film challenge that I've
done. How many did you get through?
I think I got 25.
That's still a lot.
That's a fucking lot. I don't mind watching them. It's just that like doing the reviews are kind of hard at this point. But yeah, like I might just do like video reviews on my personal channel.
Just top 10 that shit.
Yeah. But I don't mind going through them because I specifically chose films that I would be easily accessible through streaming and stuff. But this was one of them. I watched it and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I really like the way that this film kind of hammers on the theme of like chosen family. But especially the way that it does something that to me, Miyazaki and a little bit Miyazaki didn't do it in his films, but you know, the only director that I know that had done it was Kurosawa, that he has a way of examining poverty specifically in like those rural areas of Japan, because so many films like in Japanese cinema, a lot of them always tend to like focus on the city. And something I noticed when I watched this one, it was like they're not really living in Tokyo. They're living on the outskirts of the city or like in these rural areas. And I really, really thought it was profound the way that it was examining that. But I thought this film rightfully deserved its Palme d'Or. And yeah, Brad, give me your initial thoughts on Shoplifters.
I'm just going to start out because the only issue I had with this film, I'm just going to throw that out there, is I thought it started out slow. That was my only issue with this movie. Is it started out slow for me in that first act, but after that, smooth sailing, fucking just terrific, and the story just grips you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like and like you said, they hammer on this thing of chosen family of, and you know, I'm an only child, so I know all about that. You choose your family. Family's not always about blood, so that's, and I really enjoyed this film. I just enjoy the whole, like when they get arrested and the dad's being asked, he's questioned. He's like, why did you teach the kids to shoplift? He's like, that's all I knew what to teach them. Yeah. And I like felt that. I'm like, that's probably true. That's probably the only education, real education this man had.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. And then the mom takes it on herself, just since he already had a record, takes the fall of the whole thing. So acting, you know, as I guess wife should be, in that regard. But also the kids were, it's hard enough to say the kids were better off with their kidnappers. I'm not going to say kidnappers because
I mean
like even the boy, like it sounds like the boy was living in a car or left in a car while his parents were getting drunk or something. And then the little girl is basically in an abusive household that ignores her and beats her. Yeah, at the very end where she's just stuck there. Yeah. And it's just like, she was better off with that loving woman, you know, who basically found her.
Yeah.
That's and then I like the scenes with the grandma and her granddaughter. Although it was painful that, you know, the granddaughter was left with that the only reason her grandmother even allowed her to live with her was to get money from her parents. That kind of hurt, but I don't buy it. That's the only reason the grandmother.
Well, because you look at the dynamic between the two and the relationship is so beautiful. It's like, you know, I doubt a lot of that was because of the money. I think,
yeah,
you know, she probably felt an obligation to, well, you know, to what's it called? Keep the granddaughter too. But like through but time.
Did you notice she didn't spend it? No. She did not spend that money. She had like 116,000 yen.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot, you know, especially in that household. That she was probably leaving to that family, to her granddaughter. Mm-hmm. So it's not, to me, like it kind of got flipped around, and you know, you can take it how you want, but I don't see the grandmother as that, you know, shitty.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about like moments that hit to me, like there's specifically two, of course, the ending with the, what's it called? Because I mean, it's no surprise that throughout the film, it does allude to the fact that the mom is getting beat. And you can tell because at the end, she's like trying to cover up with makeup like as Bruce.
Yeah.
But just what always breaks my heart is when the little girl is just trying to get her mom's attention. And the mom is just like, leave me alone. Like, I don't care. I'm, you know,
yeah.
She's being self-centered. And it's just like that kid.
Well, and she, before, she, yeah, she yeah. came from, you know, when she was with the other family.
Gave like, so just much love and attention. Just
so much, like they didn't have nothing except love. And she had a brother who watched over her. She had a mom who just adored her. Yeah, and you just see her go back to basically really young parents who shouldn't be parents. Yeah. I'll throw that out there right now. Like, shouldn't have been parents. And it's just sad. It's just sad because she's an unwanted kid.
Yeah. And then the other one is like, what's it called? The whole scene at the beach, man. I mean, when Granny's like telling her, like, if I die soon, which of course, what's called Lucy,
she's going
to die in the next scene. You're right. She's just trying to remind
a little foreshadowing there, Grandma.
Yeah, a little foreshadowing there, Grandma. But like, she's not going to die alone. Like, she has all these people who love and care about her. Of course, what's it called? Primal instinct is going to kick in that the father and the mother need to survive. So of course, they're going to be like, we need to use this money.
Well, they're gonna hide Grandma and then get any benefits they can from that and also get her money. So, I mean, and the Grandma to me was leaving that to them. Like, that's the only thing. Like, they wouldn't know her accounts and shit if she wasn't planning that.
Yeah, and it's like it's to me it's like it's human nature at that point, which is a good thing and a bad thing in itself but it's instinct of survival, and you know you can't really fault the family. But there's one moment in this film where it like really like gets to me sometimes. And it's when they're interrogating the father, and he goes, you named the kid, the boy, Shota. Isn't that your name? And I'm just like, huh, fuck. I'm like, of course, you know, it's a father would name their son, usually, the name of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, this man truly saw this child who he was teaching how to shoplift and all these things, right? But he truly saw him as his son.
Yeah.
You know, throughout this whole film, he tries to make him call him dad. But in the end, he really did view this kid as his son.
Well, and in the end, the kid did call him dad.
Yeah.
If you saw on the bus in the subtitles, he did under his breath call him dad when he was leaving. Yeah. And it was one of those, I think, instinctual moments with the kid where the kid asked him, were you really going to leave me at the hospital? And the dad in shame was basically like, yeah. And that kind of broke me too. Also, like, that whole interrogation scene had so much substance to it. That's ridiculous. I don't think I've ever seen an interrogation scene like, you know, just have so much like background in it. And like when they ask, I forget if it's the mom or the granddaughter, they ask her, you know, or tell her you left your grandmother, and they're like, no, we didn't leave the grandma.
No. And I, especially in the interrogation scene, I love the lighting in that scene. There's like a lot of things that you know, Correda, of course, he does is like really beautiful kind of color grading that I like. The color palette's beautiful, but like it's lighting. It's never like really anything too complicated. It's like very naturalistic.
No.
It's a very like kind of really gives you that idea of like, this is something that does happen. And like, this is real life. And I agree with you, Brad. The only reason I don't give this a near perfect a perfect score, I think it's a near perfect film, is the fact that the beginning does kind of take its time to kind of like start.
Progressed.
But once you get into the second act, it picks up. It
fucking like, goes until the end.
Yeah, and I think that like I love all these characters. You know, the family, like, you know, even the daughter who's like working at a fetish club. Like,
yeah, there were some tender moments for it being a fetish club.
Yeah,
like her just holding, I guess they called him number four.
Yeah,
I don't know if they just, and she's just holding him like all, you know, and I don't know. It this film like hits you in different places where it's just like,
yeah,
it shouldn't really be like, it's very like modern, like Kurosawa, where you're just catching feels here and there.
Yeah, parts of it remind me of like that tenderness that you feel like in Ikiru and like in and also in what's it called, One Wonderful Sunday. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, it Kurosawa has this way of examining like especially poverty in the middle class back then, and Koreeda just like takes all those lessons that you learn from the past one and like brings it into the modern sense that feels like so beautifully profound within this film. And I love this film so much. I think that it's easily one of the best modern Japanese films I've ever seen. Like, it's
agreed. I mean, and there there's multiple lot of scenes in this where I can just go and guide to and be like, that scene has a point, it hits correctly, it looks great. Even the scene where the brother has taken his sister, little sister, to shoplift, and the shoplifter has been knowing what this kid's been doing for years.
Yeah.
Like you're given that sense when he's like, don't teach your sister that. Like, you're just like, and you're like, okay, that's a good dude. And the only reason any of this happened and was caught is because that shop was closed. And it had mourning on it, and that's what you get right to the end.
It's like, that's why I'm like, what's it called? When I always see it, it's like, no, y'all, there's no way this man actually doesn't know what's happening. Like,
no, like
for it to happen on a consistent basis, and this kid is taking so much all the time. It's like, no, come on, man. Like, the guy knows, he's just laying it slide because, you know, this kid needs it.
Yeah. Well, and he knows, like, he's just a kid.
He's just a kid. And I just, I think every single dynamic here just works beautifully. Like, you know, the grandma and her granddaughter, the mother and the father, which by the way, like what's it called, when it's revealed, like he was in like a crimes of passion. I was like, wow. Like, but like, still like, you know, what's it called? He's not a criminal, man. Like,
well, he's not a bad dude, especially if the ex-husband like was trying to kill them.
Exactly. And it's like, this guy's not a bad guy. You know, he's just a man who like has always wanted a family, hasn't been able to give that to anybody, and he gets to form his family that he gets to think.
You know, and it's one of those. It's not like he isn't trying. He's like literally working and like, I mean, it's just circumstances. It's circumstances that can just lead to all this.
Yeah, it's like, what's it called? Anybody of us could get injured on site, on the site, on the job site. And it's like, you know, sometimes some jobs are shitty and they don't give you workers' comp. And, you know, when you're the only one who's working in the household, what the hell's going to happen? Especially in countries where, like, you know, where government assistance isn't really much of a thing. And it's, you know, it's hard, man. Like, and I love the way that, you know, that Koreeda examines that, man. So that's why I'm going to go ahead and give Shoplifters a 9 out of 10, y'all. Let's go. I miss its mark just a bit with the pacing in the beginning, the first act, but it's a fucking near perfect film, y'all. I love this movie a lot. And this one deserved a 2018. And it did lose to Roma that year. And well, what's it called? I think Roma's the better movie. So it's cool. I won't, there's no complaint here. I think the Academy chose the right one that year. But Red, what did you what are you gonna go ahead and give Shoplifters?
I'm gonna ahead and give Shoplifters, which also I very much enjoyed. And like I said, the only issue I had was it had a slow start. That was the only thing. So I'm giving it 8.75 out of 10.
Sick. Next week we're looking at Kagemusha, y'all, which is a 3-hour film. So
can't complain. It's Kurosawa. It's three hours Kurosawa. Like
we have a good amount of time now. You know, we have tomorrow, we have Saturday, we have Sunday, we have a little bit of Monday before we have to start show. So we got time.
We can break it. We can break it up.
Yeah.
1 hour days.
Saturday we're not gonna be. We're not gonna be on live show because actually it's gonna happen. I'm gonna try to get Keon to do stuff. So Saturday could be your designated day to watch this film. True. But either way, y'all, what's it called? Next week we're doing Kagemusha. The week after that we're gonna be doing Sex Lies and Videotape. You're probably wondering what the hell happened, Rowan. Well, my friends, Sex Lies and Videotape. I just want to say something real quick, y'all. It's some bullshit with their distributors, bro. Where you make the movie only available to purchase, but you don't make it available to rent. Like, what kind of bullshit is that, bro? Like, come on, man. I thought the movie was on Criterion. I swear to God, Brad, it was on Criterion Channel.
It probably was. And then it got... sometimes with Criterion, they get bought up. Yes. That's the whole reason Ron isn't on Criterion.
Yeah, distribution rights are a bitch. And, you know, this is in July. There is no sale going on right now. I can't buy the freaking Criterion for $20. But, yeah, we have to wait a little bit while I find other avenues, maybe. But what's it called? We'll be doing that at the end of the month. But yeah, man, distributors who do that, y'all got a special like place. To, what's it called? Because like, come on, man, what's that all about? Let me rent the goddamn movie. So of course, thank you all so much for watching this review. As always, we want to thank everybody who was in chat, which are literally just Stacy and Kylie. Thank you guys so much for being here as always. You guys are awesome. We love you. And of course, we want to thank our Patreon supporters. Patreon supporters are the ones who make all of these shows happen and make all these things happen here on the Nerdcore Podcast Network. So I want to thank you all so much. We want to thank specifically our wonderful executive producer, Shane. Man's going through it right now with the weather. The weather's killing this man's chances.
Poor Shane,
man. He just wants to make his, what's it called, pop-ups, y'all. And the weather is not laying him. But hopefully this weekend, y'all, if you are in the area, Illinois Vintage Fest 7, go and check it out. Brad, where can they find Shane?
You can find our friend Shane at twitch.tv/XSRK or on Twitter at XSRK_, or go buy something from the Suppy Guide at Thrifted.io.
All right.
I forgot where.
Oak Hill, Illinois, Prison City Vintage.
Thank you. I'm gonna write that down. Come on, man.
Oak Hill. Yeah, not Oak Brook. Oak Brook is way too expensive, bro. Yeah, a little place to live. But Oak Hill, y'all, go and check it out, y'all, please. But Illinois Vintage Fest 7, y'all, go and check that out if you're in the area this weekend. As always, we want to thank our writers, good old Tony.
Hey, Tony.
A real nerdy dad. Thank you, Tony, so much for being a writer of the podcast. You can become a writer by going to patreon.com/nerdcore and subscribing to the $25 tier. If you want to be an executive producer, you can join the $15 tier. That's how it works here. We care about you all so much. So thank you all so much for helping us and making this possible. I don't know what the fuck Tony's going to ask us to do, but when it happens, I'm going to be really scared. It's going to be scared. I'm petrified of what the hell.
Try and be on his good side, but keep sending him TikToks. We're TikTok buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. But Brad, I think I would be down to do Koreeda in December when we do our directors that we just don't know that much about.
Yeah.
But because I do have access to a good amount of his films. So with that said though, it's been a wonderful time. Let's go. You can catch us tomorrow. We're gonna be doing Nerdcore live show. We're gonna talk about that new Kenobi trailer. Ooh. I'm really excited because I'm fucking excited for this show, man. This show cannot get me any more hype, bro. Did you see that picture of him and Hayden, of Ewing McGregor and Hayden?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they're like promoting the film. They're together. Oh, like, shit. Oh, let's go. I was like, ah, damn, bro, this is awesome. But I'm so excited, man. But I'll see you guys tomorrow. And of course, Brad, let's send them out on their way.
All right, Ron. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all those joined us in chat today. Kylie and Stacy, you're my favorites. Don't tell anyone else. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And in this episode, I'm just going to say, hangovers every day, menudo every day. That's how it should be. Young Yoda out.